This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, was salatu was salamu ala rasulihil kareem, rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma ahdi qalbi wa saddid lisani waslul sakhimata qalbi amin ya rabbal alamin. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. La ilaha illa Allahu, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu akbar kabira walhamdulillahi kathira wa subhanallahi bukratan wa asila. Alhamdulillah, in these best days, we are talking about the best deeds, and we have been talking about the best worship. We learned about how the best act of worship is salah. We also learned about the best kind of fasting, the best kind of zakat, hajj. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the best sadaqah, the best kind of charity. And this is a topic that is not just relevant to those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with a lot of wealth. Rather, this is a topic that is relevant to every single Muslim. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, that ala kulli muslimin sadaqah, that every Muslim has to give sadaqah. Every single Muslim has to give charity. So it doesn't matter whether a person is man or woman, young or old, they have a consistent source of income or they don't, they are privileged with a lot of wealth or they are struggling financially. And it doesn't matter what our social status is, what our financial status is, what we own, what we don't own, whether we are renting the house or we own the house that we live in. All of that is irrelevant. What is relevant is that you are a Muslim. You believe in Allah, you believe in the hereafter, and so what is necessary is that you give sadaqah. Every Muslim must give sadaqah. So the people asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what if someone has nothing to give? What if literally someone has nothing at all, no property at all from which they can give sadaqah? What will he do? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he should work with his hands and benefit himself and also give in charity from what he earns. Meaning he should not just sit like that and remain like that, waiting for others to give him something. Rather, he should make use of his hands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, and he should work, he should earn an income, even if it may be very little, but he should earn something and benefit himself with that. And then from what he has earned, he should also give in charity. So then the people asked that what if he is not able to do that? Because, what if there is a person who has a disability because of which they're not able to work? Then what? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he should help those in need who appeal for help. Meaning, if he finds someone who is in need, he should help them. And the only way of helping someone is not just with your money, not just with your work, but also with your words. You can listen to someone. You can give them good advice. You can give them hope. You can uplift them. You can say a positive word to them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he should help those in need. And then the people asked, what if he is not able to do that either? And really, there are people who don't find such opportunity. So the Prophet ﷺ said, then he should perform good deeds and keep away from evil. And this will be regarded as charity for him, for him. Meaning, he should do what is good and he should keep people safe from his harm. Meaning, he should not cause any trouble to people. Because sometimes it happens that, you know, a person is bedridden, for instance. They are too weak, too old to even carry a good conversation. So in that situation, a person should guard themselves and not cause any harm to others. And when they will do that, then this will be charity for them. So we see that the spirit of charity is what? It is not that you give a whole lot of money. You know, the spirit of charity is in being of benefit to others. That is the main focus of sadaqah. And we see that that all of the teachings of Islam, they guide us to become people who are of benefit to others, not people who are selfish, not people who are only thinking about how they can take benefit from others, but rather people who are bringing benefit to others in any way possible. It could be in the way of giving money. It could be in the way of giving a helping hand. It could be in the way of, you know, giving a positive word, you know, a positive comment. Anything that you give to help someone, to benefit someone, to uplift them, this is regarded as charity. And so each and every one of us should think about how we can increase in giving sadaqah on a regular basis, but especially in these days when good deeds performed are most beloved to Allah and also highly rewardable. So the first hadith that inshallah we'll be looking at in regards to today's topic is that giving in the way of Allah is the best charity. This hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the most virtuous of charitable spending is the shade of a tent given in the cause of Allah, or giving a servant in the cause of Allah, or a riding camel in the cause of Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ gave different examples of afdalu sadaqat, the best of all sadaqat, meaning those charities that are most virtuous, that bring the most reward, the most benefit. And if you think about it, in all of these three examples that the Prophet ﷺ gave, we see that what is common is that it is given fi sabilillah. It is given in the cause of Allah. It is given for the benefit of the religion of Allah. And this could be in the form of supporting those people who are, you know, striving in for the sake of the religion of Allah. This could be in the form of, you know, spending on a masjid, anything that is related to the deen, anything that is related to promoting, strengthening, you know, the work of Islam or the work of those people who are serving the religion of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah that مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ حَبَّةِ. That the example of those people who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is like that of a grain. أَنْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. And this grain grows 7 ears, and each ear contains 100 grains. وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah multiplies the rewards for whom He wills, and Allah is wasir. He is all-encompassing. He is ever-knowing. Now, if you think about it, in this ayah, basically we are being told that when you give even something as small as a grain in the way of Allah, it has the potential to increase and to grow, to multiply into 700 grains. And you think about it, when we look at a grain, for example, a rice grain, which is on our plate, okay, and let's say we have finished eating, some people don't you know, pay attention to eating all of the food that is on their plate, so they leave a few grains of rice, for example. They have no problem throwing it. They have no problem letting it go down the drain. They have no problem letting it fall on the ground. But any that same grain has so much potential that it could turn into 700. It could bring 700 more. It could amplify the reward for you. Now imagine there's a rice grain that is going down the drain and another rice grain that you put outside and a bird eats it, an animal eats it. The grain is the same. Okay, you're not eating it, but look at the outcome. So sometimes we are very careless about the way that we spend our money. We don't mind spending here, there, on random things, things that we really are not in need of, things that are of no benefit. We just want to, satisfy that desire of spending, at the store, that impulse buying. And, like that, we just waste our money. Our money, the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, has a lot of potential. Through it, we can earn a lot of reward. So we need to learn about ways in which we can spend our money and think about it consciously. Make an intention and have a solid plan as to where we want to spend our money. So as we go over the different ahadith today, make sure that you make a list for yourself. That where am I going to give sadaqah? In which cause? And make the intention, make a list, and then check yourself after a few days that have I given sadaqah in this cause or not? Now in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the best of sadaqat is, first of all, ظِلُّ فُسْطَاتٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, giving a shade of a tent in the cause of Allah. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially where he lived in Arabia, one of the common ways in which people would have shade is by pitching a tent. Now, these days, that could look look like something different. So, for example, contributing for building a structure where people can find shade, especially those who are in the way of Allah. For example, some masajid, their windows are not such that, they keep the heat out. Or for example, there are so many people coming to the masjid, many of them are praying outside and there's no proper canopy, right? There's no proper canopy in the courtyard or in the parking lot and people are praying literally under the sun. People are sitting literally under the sun. So giving an umbrella, all right, helping in the construction of a building or in making a canopy or something like that so that people have shade. People who are in the way of Allah, people who are learning the Quran, people who are worshiping Allah, they have shade. The second thing the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is giving a servant in the cause of Allah. مَنِيحَةُ خَادِمٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Meaning, giving a servant to someone who is in the way of Allah. Why? Because if you give them a servant, then they would help them in their work, assist them in their work. And like this, this person will be able to work in the way of Allah more easily. Now, of course, in modern day, it could look like something different. For example, you buy a vacuum for the masjid, all right? You know that a friend of yours is, for example, learning Quran. She is teaching her children, for instance. She is, or you find out about someone in the community who is, an active volunteer in the masjid, for instance. They are doing things which are serving the religion of Allah. And if, for example, you give them a gift of a gadget even, a subscription even to, a larger Dropbox, for example, right? So that they can easily share files, right? You buy them, something that will help them in their work, right? Then this is what? You are helping them work better, work more effectively in the way of Allah. And sometimes, it's not the case that these people are not able to afford, to purchase a laptop, for example, for themselves or pay for the subscription themselves. They can, but it's about you, right? You want to have a share of that reward. So this is one of the best forms of charity. And then the third thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, طَرُوقَةُ فَحْلٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, meaning giving what has been translated as a riding camel in the cause of Allah. Some have translated طَرُوقَةُ فَحْلٍ as breeding an animal. Like, for example, giving a stud for the purpose of breeding in order to produce animals that are going to now be used in the cause of Allah. So providing means of transportation for those who are in the way of Allah. And some ulama say that included in this is any kind of charity that is given in the way of Allah to assist the religion of Allah in any way. And of course, depending on the time, the need, the place, the nature of that charity will vary. So we all need to think about how we can support the cause of the religion of Allah. How can you better support your local masjid? How can you better support an Islamic organization from which you have been benefiting? So many other people have been benefiting. How can you support the individuals you know are busy in the way of Allah? You know, sometimes we think about sending a cake, sending cupcakes and things like that. That's great. You know, it's nice that you are bringing them joy. It's great. But the greatest joy that you can bring to people who are serving the religion of Allah is by supporting them in doing their work, giving them something that will help them, that will aid them in their work. So any institute, Islamic organization that you know of, think about how you can financially support them. You know, that work will carry on. That work will continue whether we are a part of it or not. We have to be a little eager for reward over here. That how can I get a share of that reward? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah that الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. And this is in the context of those people who spend their wealth in the way of Allah. So they spend their wealth in the night and the day, secretly, openly. They will have their reward with their Lord. Their reward is preserved. It is guaranteed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that whatever you spend in His cause, Allah will compensate it for you. You're not losing anything over here. Yes, on the surface, it seems like, you know, now there's $500 less in your bank, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate that. He will bring something else in its place. And when you give something in the cause of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it a loan. A loan, meaning a loan has to be paid back. So when you give something in the way of Allah, this means that the return is guaranteed. And we have also been told in the Quran that إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from the believers their lives and their properties in exchange for Jannah, meaning they will have Jannah in return. So when we spend our wealth in the way of Allah, not only is this a sign of our truthfulness, our honesty, our sincerity when it comes to the matter of deen, but we are also helping ourselves. We are also, drawing closer to entry into paradise, inshallah. And we also learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever spends a sum in the cause of Allah, and he did not specify the sum, that amount, whatever it may be, you give it in the cause of Allah, it is recorded for that person 700 times. Any, the reward is multiplied 700 times. You give a dollar, it's recorded as 700. You give 1,000, it's recorded as 7,000. So be eager to spend in the way of Allah. And those who do not spend in the way of Allah, who are stingy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَبْخَلْ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. Whoever is stingy is being stingy with himself. He's only depriving himself of great rewards. So there are numerous benefits associated with spending in the way of Allah. There is the promise of paradise. There is great reward. There is protection against hellfire. There is the removal of sins. We learn that spending in this way is a means of purification. It causes our wealth to grow, and it also saves us from difficulties and troubles in our lives. So when we give in the way of Allah, how should we give? Let us give it with sincerity. Let us not give it to be seen by others. And when we give it, then let us not remind the people of the charity that we have given. Because sometimes what happens is people give a donation to the masjid and then they expect some kind of benefit in return. They say, look, I am your number one supporter. I need a guaranteed spot in the first row every single day. Okay? No, you don't remind people of the favor that you are doing them. You don't ask them to change the rules for you because you are, you know, someone who supports that organization. And when we are giving in the way of Allah, let us give that which we like for ourselves. And also be moderate. Do not go to extremes. Because if we don't spend it in a moderate way, then there will come a point where we will be in need and we will regret what we are giving. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of our sadaqah. All right. We are in need of giving it. So let us give it in a way that is sustainable for us. And what are the different ways in which we can spend in the way of Allah? We can spend on masajid. We can spend on students of knowledge. We can spend on people who have dedicated their lives for the cause of Allah, to serve the religion of Allah in any capacity. We can spend in order to help people break their fast. We can spend in the promotion of good publications that educate people about Islam. So these are some forms of spending in the way of Allah. The second hadith we're looking at is about the best kind of charity and the best kind of spending. Yani, the thing is that as a person, as a human being, yani, you have to spend your money, right? On what? On your needs, on the needs of your family. There's regular expenses, basically, which you have to spend on, right? So the Prophet ﷺ said that the most excellent dinar, yani gold coin, money, currency, is one that a person spends on his family. And the dinar which he spends on his animal in the way of Allah. And the dinar which he spends on his companions in the way of Allah. This is so beautiful. Now, some people, when they read such a hadith, they say, well, what is the best kind of charity then? Because in the previous hadith, we learned the best kind of charity is that which is, you know, given in the way of Allah. And this hadith mentions that the best dinar is that which you spend on your family. So what is best? Both are best. We need to develop the habit of spending on both ways. Because some people, what they do is that when they start spending on their family, they spend on nothing else. And other people, when they start spending in charitable causes, all right, in the way of Allah, on helping those in need, supporting the masjid, then they completely deprive their family. So this moderation, all right, is needed. That we spend on both causes. So here, the Prophet ﷺ said that the best dinar, afdalu dinarin, is that which a person spends on his family. And you think about it, from the money that you have, what is it that you spend on, right? What is it that you spend your money on? You know, sometimes you pay $2, $3 for a coffee, okay? A coffee, third cup of coffee for yourself. Right, just because you feel like it, you just want to have another one, you go buy it and you enjoy it, right? But the same money, if you were to spend on your child or on your wife, that will bring more reward. I'm not saying don't ever buy coffee for yourself. Do that as well. But realize that when you spend on your family, your dependents, all right, that is rewardable. And iyal, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, yunfiqu ala iyalihi. Iyal are people that a person is responsible to take care of. Why? Because they are dependent on him. Like, for example, a man is responsible for spending on his wife, on his children, on his servant. All right. Even the animals that you own, you are responsible for them. You have to spend on them. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the dinar which you spend on the animal which you use in the way of Allah. And sometimes you have to you know, these days, of course, people use, you know, a car or a motorbike, a bike, you know, things like that, you know, to transport, for the purpose of transportation. You know, you pay for even public transport. When you're buying those tickets, right, those bus tickets to go to the masjid, all right, or to go to the class, or you are buying another, you know, you're paying for another tank of gas, right? You are paying for your car repairs, right? This is not a waste of money, especially if you're using your car in the way of Allah. And of course, you're not always using your car in the way of Allah, in the sense that you don't only go to the masjid, you also go to the grocery store, you also go to, you know, see your family, you also go to, you know, to the park. But all of that, and you do, why? Because these things are an obligation on you. You have to take care of your family, so you have to buy groceries. You have to take care of yourself, so you do need to allow yourself to go out in nature. You go to the park, you reflect on the creation. And this is also ibadah. So when you use your means of transportation in the way of Allah, then the money that you spend on it is not a waste. Even that you are rewarded for. And dinarun yunfiquhu ala ashabihi fi sabilillah. Also the best dinar is that which you spend on your friends who are in the way of Allah. Meaning who are also worshippers of Allah, who are striving in the cause of Allah, who are working for the cause of Allah. You spend on them, this is also greatly rewardable. So this hadith shows us the different forms, the different ways of spending money and giving charity. And we see that the order is noticeable. You begin with your family. Why begin with your family? Because spending on your family is an obligation on you. And remember the rule that the best deeds to Allah are those which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on us. So for a man, it is necessary to spend on his family. Abu Qilaba said that who is the person with greater reward than a person who spends on young members of his family and preserves them from need or from begging. And by virtue of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings profit for them and makes them rich. Yani, if a person spends on his family, all right, takes care of their needs, and then there comes a point where, you know, you have paid for your children's education, you know, on their health, on their enrichment, and, you know, on their deen, so that they can learn. And then there comes a point where they are, you know, independent, they're standing on their own feet. Any, what a great investment this is for you. This is not a waste of money. And Imam al-Tabari says that the summary of, you know, all of this discussion is that spending on your family is mandatory. Especially in the case of men, spending on their families is an obligation. And in the Quran also we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. That they ask you, what is it that they should spend? Tell them whatever you spend of any good, then it is for the parents and the close relatives and the orphans and those in need and the traveler. But look at the sequence. It begins with parents, right? And then close relatives. So those who are closest to you, they deserve more from you. And in another hadith, we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if any one of you is poor, he should begin with himself. And he first fulfill your own need. And then give it to your family. If anything is left over, give it to your relatives. If anything is left over, then here and there. And we also learn the Prophet ﷺ said that the hand of the giver is the upper one, right? And in another hadith, we learned that that is the better hand. The upper hand is the better hand. And the upper hand is the hand of the giver. And spend first on those who are dependent on you. Your mother and father, your sister and brother, then your relatives in order of their closeness to you. So, you know, some people, even though they're not married, you know, they're living with their parents and they have a source of income, you know, mashallah, they're making a whole lot of money. And now what's happening, this guy is, you know, buying a new phone and now a new car. And now, he's traveling the world, and the sister is just, you know, watching. The father is, you know, just watching. This is not correct. When you are living with your parents and you have, a good source of income, then it's necessary that you spend on your parents, your siblings, and also on your relatives. This doesn't mean that you spend everything that you have on them and nothing on yourself. No, there needs to be moderation. But whether you are living with your parents or not, whether you have your own family, you know, your wife, your children or not, regardless, even if your parents are very wealthy, you should still spend on your parents. You know, there was a man who would work in a paint factory, okay? And working in a paint factory, especially back in the day where they would extract color from, you know, different materials, and then they would, manually by hand mix it. And there's fumes, there's a lot of hard labor, there's heat. So this work is not really that well paid, right? So whatever money that he would make by the end of the day, he would always go and buy some fruit. And then he would first take that fruit to his mother. He would put it in front of her, some fresh fruit before her. Not because she's poor, not because she hasn't eaten all day, but because your parents deserve that you bring them something that will bring them joy, right? That will show them that you care about them. So this is something that we can also do. You know, maybe your parents are wealthier than you. They have no need of, you spending on them. But when you take, for example, you know, fresh peaches, right? Fresh strawberries, whatever fruit is in season, a handful even, and you put it, you wash it, put it on a plate, give it to your mother, you know, put it in front of her. Even if she eats one, all right, at least you are showing her that, Mom, I love you. I care about you. I have not forgotten you. You are important to me. You are special to me. And these gestures are necessary on a regular basis. And men really need to pay attention to this. So often it happens that, you know, when a man gets married, moves away for a week, you know, the entire week, he doesn't go show his face to his mother. How hurtful is that? The mother who took care of you when you were sick, any lovingly prepared food for you, was so excited about getting you married. You know, if she doesn't get along with your wife, that's a different problem. That's a different problem. You know, that deserves its own attention, whatever. But the main thing is, your mother deserves love and attention from you. And she may be wealthier than you. It's possible that she spends regularly on you, on your children. But you need to go and show that love to her. You need to go and show that attention to her. And men especially need to do this. Daughters do this anyway. Daughters do this with a lot of love. They will prepare food. They will call. You know, they will buy clothes for their mothers. They will, you know, buy different things for their parents. They will take care of their parents in so many different ways. Men, unfortunately, young men, do not pay much attention to this. They think it's not their job. You must do this. You must make your parents a priority. You don't have to buy them expensive gifts because they're wealthy. Alhamdulillah. They're independent. Alhamdulillah. But you need to show love to them by spending on them, even if it's with just a plate of, you know, fresh strawberries. And don't just go and put it on the kitchen table. Look at this man. What is he doing? He would put it in front of his mother. So go wash them. Okay? Put them on the plate. You know, cupcakes, whatever. Something for your parents. These gestures are very, very important. We learned that once a man passed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Sahaba, when they saw that man, they felt like that man was, you know, mashallah, very capable physically, you know, physically very strong. So, and this man was just, you know, doing his own thing. So the Sahaba, you know, they said that if this man was in the way of Allah, it would be better for him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if he has come out of his house to earn for his little children, he is in the way of Allah. If he has come out of his house in order to strive, any to do something for his old parents, then he is in the way of Allah. If he has come out to strive for himself, meaning to fulfill a need of his, so that he does not have to beg before people, he is in the way of Allah. And if he has come out to boast and show off, then he is in the way of shaitan. And really, men, mashallah, who have strong, able bodies, strong arms, tall, mashallah, physically very capable, typically when young men like this, when they go out, what is the reason? Hang out with friends, chill, take some time for themselves, maybe stand, in the aisles, check out other people, things like that. Wasting themselves, wasting their time. This is in the way of shaitan. But if a person has gone out to do something for their parents, a person has gone out of their house, they're working to earn for their children, to earn even to fulfill their own need, then they are in the way of Allah. This is something rewardable. So remember, whatever that you do for your family is sadaqah. The Prophet ﷺ said, whatever you feed yourself is sadaqah. Whatever you feed your child is sadaqah. Whatever you feed your wife is sadaqah. Whatever you feed your servant is sadaqah. We learned that if a man gives water to his wife, that is also sadaqah. That is also sadaqah. One of the narrators of this hadith, when he was narrating it, he got up, he got some water, and he gave it to his wife. Not that your wife is not able to go get water herself. She is able to. But again, when you get that glass of water, when you bring it to her, what are you showing her? I care about you. You matter to me. You are special to me. And these gestures are necessary. We learned that the Prophet ﷺ was asked that what is the right of a wife over her husband? And among the things that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is that he should feed her when he eats himself. And a lot of times, men will go out to eat with their friends. They're eating at different restaurants, trying different cuisines. And where's the wife? At home with the children. She hasn't been out in like 3 days. She's been looking after 5 children, 6 children. She hasn't had the time to even drink a cup of tea in peace. And he's having the time of his life, enjoying good foods with his friends. It is the right of the wife that you feed her the same thing that you eat. And we also learn that when a man spends on his wife, this is sadaqah, and he is rewarded for it. There's a very beautiful story. We learned that once Umar radiallahu anhu, he met Umayyah al-Dhamri in the market. And Amr ibn Umayyah. And Amr was about to buy a garment. Okay, so Umar radiallahu anhu asked him that, what are you going to do with it? He said that I want to buy it and give it a sadaqah. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, that's great. So after some time, Umar radiallahu anhu asked Amr that, what did you do with it then? So he said, I bought it. I bought that garment and I gave it in charity. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he was really curious. He said, who did you give it to? So Amr said, I gave it to a female friend. Umar radiallahu anhu said, who is that? He said, my wife. Because I heard the Prophet ﷺ say that whatever a man gives to his wife is sadaqah. Your wife can go and maybe shop for what she needs herself. But when you buy something for her and give it to her, there is a different, happiness. She can maybe save her money to buy something that she wants, right? Or you can go and buy that thing for her so that you get the reward of sadaqah. So don't be stingy in spending on your wife. This is especially for men. Don't be stingy in spending on your wife. Whatever you give, even if you're buying clothes for her, and you should, buy that scarf, buy that nice dress, buy that nice bag, buy that nice cream, that perfume, show that love, show that care. And we learned that at one occasion, the Prophet ﷺ gave a camel to each of his wives, a means of transportation to each of his wives. Some men think that all they need to do is, you know, pay for the rent and pay for the groceries. And then whatever the wife needs, she has to, you know, pay from her own pocket. And subhanAllah, these days, women are expected. Yani you work and you financially support yourself. It's a 50-50 situation. And that is unfair. You know, unless the man is not capable of earning more, he's trying his best. But it is not fair that a wife is expected to look after the children and, you know, do more of the housework and then also contribute to the family, you know, income. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave camels to each of his wives so that they could, you know, go wherever they needed to with ease. So when a man, for example, spends on his wife's car, right, a gas, insurance, or if not the car, and, you know, her means of transportation, you know, for example, her bus tickets, if she needs to take an Uber, you know, something like that. So if he pays for it, this is also sadaqah. Now, we have been learning a lot about men spending on their wives. Remember, this is not one-sided. A wife should also spend on her husband whenever she is able to, if she has that financial capacity. And there are situations where women do have a source of income. Sometimes they're even wealthier than the husband. You know, there are times when they will receive, you know, money as a gift from, you know, their uncle or their parents or someone. And, you know, all of a sudden you have a couple thousand dollars sitting and your husband is, you know, spending all of his money every month, you know, on the family. So when you have money, you should also spend on your husband. Buy him something that he needs. You know that there's something that he wants. Buy that for him, right? And for men, remember that it's also rewardable when they spend on their sisters and their daughters, especially when those sisters, those daughters are dependent on him. You know, there are situations where, you know, for example, there is the only son, right? And all of a sudden, the parents are not, you know, they have retired, they are dependent on the son. And now what happens, the daughter also, you know, her husband dies or her husband, you know, gives her divorce. And now all of a sudden, she ends up in the house of her brother. And now, you know, he has to spend on his family, on his parents, on his sister, on her children. And he all of a sudden, a whole lot of expenses, right? This is difficult. But this is also very, very rewardable. So if you are in a situation like that, spend happily. We learn in the hadith that if a person spends on his daughters, on his sisters, or two female relatives, sometimes it's not your sister, sometimes it's the aunt, maternal aunt, paternal aunt, right? Grandmother, and any situation like that, then they will be a shield for him against the fire. They will be a shield for him against the fire of hell. And this is incredibly difficult. You know, financial burden, financial strain is something so stressful on men. You know, when they realize that they simply don't have more hours to work and more money to earn. And they realize that whatever money they have saved, all of a sudden is just evaporating in front of them. They're not able to, you know, buy that phone that they were looking forward to. They're not able to take that vacation that they were looking forward to because now all of a sudden the situation is different. They're not able to save for a bigger house. They're not able to buy another car. They're not able to send their child to a private school anymore. And you have to make personal sacrifices, right? But this is, you know, this is not a burden on you. This is stressful indeed, but look at the reward. They will be a shield for you against the fire of hell. And if a person neglects his dependents, his wife, his children, his parents, his sisters, you know, the people who are dependent on him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it is enough for a person to be considered sinful that he neglects those whom he is responsible to sustain. Yani this is enough for a person to be sinful, that he neglects the people that he is responsible to look after. And unfortunately, there are so many examples of this, that women are, you know, struggling to buy food for their children because the husband doesn't care, the husband doesn't give anything. Yani this is so sad. So we all need to think about this and look forward to the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. The next hadith is about the best way of giving sadaqah, the best way of giving charity. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best sadaqah is that after giving which the giver remains rich, and begin with those for whom you are responsible. And this hadith shows us that, you know, we should observe moderation, and we should refrain from extremes. So the best sadaqah is that you give in such a way that even after giving, you are still wealthy. You still have enough to, you know, sustain yourself with, your family with. And you don't become needy after giving sadaqah. You don't have to go beg. You don't have to go get food stamps after giving sadaqah. Okay? And definitely, giving sadaqah is excellent, but give sadaqah in such a way, yani such an amount, that leaves you wealthy, that leaves you in a way that you don't have to depend on others. And this is the reason why we're not allowed to give all of our wealth in charity, right? Even a person is not allowed to give all of their wealth in charity as their will, meaning after they die, they say that, you know, they've made a will that after I die, all of my wealth should go in charity. This is not permissible. You don't have that authority. You don't have that right. And we learn that the Prophet ﷺ also said over here that begin with those you are responsible for. And first they deserve. Then you extend outwards and you see who else you can give to. And also remember that when the Prophet ﷺ said that the best charity is of the one who is that which after giving, you still remain rich and you still have something to get by with, this shows you that you don't necessarily have to be extremely wealthy in order to give sadaqah, right? And this shows us that every person should give sadaqah. And when you give sadaqah, when you give in charity, you actually benefit yourself. The Prophet ﷺ said that there is a sadaqah to be given for every joint of the human body. And for every day on which the sun rises, there is a reward of sadaqah for the one who establishes justice among them. And there's different ways of giving sadaqah. And we also learned that Yahya alayhi salam, he said to Bani Israel that the example of the person who gives sadaqah is that of a man who has been captured by his enemy. Okay, imagine a man has been kidnapped. And what's happening now? They're tying him up, and he says to them, "What do you want? I can ransom myself from you with whatever that you ask of me." So then they ask him for a certain amount of money, he gives it to them, and he is set free. We hear stories like that, right? That a person was captured, kidnapped, or even was taken to jail, and then they were released on bail. Right? So this is what sadaqah does. It frees you. It frees you from what? From difficulty. It brings ease for you. And it frees you from difficulties in this world and also in the hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ especially advised women to give sadaqah. Because you see, in the majority of the cases, you see men are typically, you know, spending on their families, they're spending on their children, they're spending on their parents. So, you know, a typical man with a family, if you think about it, every day he's giving some kind of sadaqah. One day, diapers are coming for the children. Next day, water bill is being paid. The day after, car insurance is being paid. The day after, you know, car is being filled with gas, right? Every day, a typical man who spends on his family, every day he is giving some kind of sadaqah. Okay, something is coming out of his bank account that is going that is being recorded as sadaqah for him. But for women, that's not always the case. For many women, because many women, especially who are mothers, with little children, they are on the receiving end, right? And things are a little difficult, annoying for them. So the Prophet ﷺ warned women, right? And he said that you should give charity and you should seek forgiveness from Allah. And he warned that I saw that the bulk of the people in hell are women. And a lot of people, they take offense to this hadith. And we are missing the point. The Prophet ﷺ is not exhibiting hate for women. Hashalillah, he's not doing that. He is doing us a favor by informing us that we are, a group that is high risk. You know, we are a group that is high risk. So you got to be careful. You got to pay special attention to giving sadaqah. Just because you don't have a source of income doesn't mean that you don't give charity. Just because you don't earn money and you don't, you're not required to spend on your family doesn't mean that you don't give charity. You must still give sadaqah. And there's so many different ways in which we can give sadaqah. There are so many benefits associated with sadaqah. The Prophet ﷺ said that charity extinguishes bad deeds just as water extinguishes fire. You know, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, whenever a beggar would come to his door, he would become happy. And he would say, marhaba, welcome to the one who has come to wash my sins. So when we give sadaqah, what are we doing? We are washing away our sins. And charity does not reduce wealth. And when you give sadaqah, it continues to increase near Allah. It also brings ease. And when you give charity in secret, meaning in such a way that people around you don't find out, this extinguishes the anger of Allah also. Hassan said that treat your ill with charity, meaning if someone is unwell, how do you treat them? Part of the treatment plan should be that you give sadaqah. Yes, you go to the doctor, you get the diagnosis. Yes, you follow through the treatment plan, everything, but you must also give sadaqah. We learned that, the author of the hadith book, Mustadrak Hakim, Imam Hakim, the collector, rather, he mentioned a story about himself that, he fell ill. He had a certain illness where, basically there was, some boils that had formed on his face. Okay. And you can imagine these boils, the bigger they are, or tumor, even something like that on the face. And imagine if it's filled with pus, not only is it painful, how do you do sajda? How do you wash your face in making wudu? It's incredibly painful, right? It's also very difficult to deal with. So, he tried different things, for treatment, and he also made a lot of dua. He was asking, people to make dua for him as well. And then one day he decided to make some source of drinking water at his door. Okay, so perhaps a tap or water cooler, something like that, whatever was available at the time. He did that. He arranged for free water, basically free drinking water for people at the door of his house, and people began taking water from there. And you may have experienced this, that in smaller cities, people will go anywhere to get free clean drinking water. So within a week, his face was healed. Within a week, all of those boils, etc., whatever it was, they were gone. So, sometimes we're dealing with long-term illness. Sometimes we're dealing with, problems that are just not going away. Maybe it's your children, that you don't know what to do with your children. One child is causing a lot of trouble for you. And there is obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. How is it that we bring ease for ourselves? Do that through sadaqah. Arrange for a consistent source of a charity. Ibn al-Qayyim mentions that sadaqah has an amazing effect in repelling different types of problems. And he said that even if a sinful person gives sadaqah, an oppressor gives sadaqah, even if a non-believer gives sadaqah, yani spends on others, gives charity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will benefit that person in one way or another. So sadaqah brings benefit in this life, and it also brings benefit after death. Because we learn that if a person is given some form of sadaqah jariyah, a source of charity that is continuous, it will continue to benefit him even after he has died. When sadaqah is given, It removes the heat of the graves from its people. So especially your loved ones who have passed away, you know, make sure that you give sadaqah on their behalf as well. Your sadaqah will be your shade on the Day of Judgment. And so some ulama, their habit was that every day they would give some kind of sadaqah, even if it was an onion. And in some days you cannot find something significant to give, but even if, you know, they found an onion and they could just give that, they did that. So don't belittle the sadaqah that you can give. Be willing to give, be willing to bring benefit to others, because this is something that will benefit you eventually. And we learn that whoever gives sadaqah seeking the face of Allah, and you know, he begins with that intention and he ends his deed with that intention, then he will be admitted into paradise. The next hadith is that the best charities of the one who has little and strives to earn and gives from it, and begin with those you are responsible for. So this hadith tells us that even if a person has little, right, they should still give. And the words in the hadith are juhdul muqil. Muqil is a person who has little wealth, doesn't have a lot. And juhd is, you know, your entire capacity, basically. So when a person gives, you know, from the little that they have also, that is excellent. And the Prophet ﷺ described that as afdalu sadaqah. Because, you know, for example, you have just enough money to buy your lunch. Okay, you have just enough for your lunch. You have little. You know that if you don't buy a full meal, you buy something that is smaller in quantity, that will be difficult in any, a little sad for you because you were looking forward to having a full meal. But you're not going to die. You know you will survive, right? You know that inshallah, once you go home, you can eat to your fill, right? So at that time, when you give from the little that you have, this is the best form of charity. Because what does that show? This shows that giving is important to you. This shows that you care about the needs of others. This shows that وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. You give in spite of love for that wealth. And also, juhdul muqil has been described as, you know, someone who strives to earn, okay, and they give from it. Some people, you know, their work is relatively easy and they make a lot of money. You know, they have a comfortable source of income. Other people have to work really hard. The nature of their work is very physically demanding. And the money that they make is perhaps not that much. But the main thing is, a person is working. A person is striving. And whatever they make, from that they give sadaqah. This kind of sadaqah is also excellent. The Prophet ﷺ said that for one of you to go out early to gather firewood and carry it on his back so that he can give charity from it and be free of need from people is better for him than to ask a man who may give or may refuse. Yani, this is not skilled labor if you think about it. Gathering firewood and then selling that. And then also, whatever money that a person has made by selling firewood, you know, he spends on himself and he gives charity from it. That is better than begging people. The Prophet ﷺ continued, he said, indeed, the upper hand is more virtuous than the lower hand. So be the upper hand, even if that upper hand gives very little, because that is all that it can give. And the Sahaba, you know, whenever the Prophet ﷺ told them to give sadaqah, they wouldn't say, oh, this is so great, mashallah. You know, people who are able to, who can afford to give sadaqah, they're so fortunate. They didn't sit there. Those who did not have wealth, they said that we would go to the market, we would work as porters, carrying other people's luggage, and we would get just a handful of grain as compensation, and we would give charity from that. We would give charity from that. And when they learned about the importance of giving sadaqah, they wouldn't just sit there and say, oh, this is great. They would do something to earn money so that they could give sadaqah. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to his wives that the one with the longest hand would meet him first, right? So the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, you know, they would measure their hands against one another to see whose hand was the longest. And then when Zainab radiallahu anha died first, out of all the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they realized that what he meant by long hand was generous hand. Because what was unique about her is that she used to work with her hand. She used to make different things. She would sell them. And the money that she would make, she would give in sadaqah from it. So, you know, you don't have to have a very big, you know, job with a fancy title, sitting in a fancy office in order to have a source of income and then spend from it. You can make things with your hand. Right, you can make bracelets, you can make, you know, different things. But whatever skill, whatever ability Allah has given you, use that to earn money, and earn money not so that you can go on vacations. Of course, if that is something you're saving for, that's excellent. But one of your intentions should be that I want to give sadaqah. Another thing is that we should keep giving from what we have. Asma radiallahu anha was told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that do not, you know, la tu'i, and you don't just keep your money closed within your pouch, you know, within your wallet. Why? Because if you keep it closed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might treat you in the same way, that he will also withhold from you. And he sallallahu alayhi wasallam told her that irdhi mastata'ti, and you keep giving from whatever that you can. So whatever that we have, let us keep giving from it. You can give from the food that you have prepared. You can give from, you know, the clothes that you have. You can give from, you know, all the lovely kitchen supplies and kitchen, you know, things that you have gathered, dishes that you have gathered. You know, give something, anything, but keep giving. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there will be none among you but he will be spoken to by Allah on the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you, and there will be no interpreter, and no third one, no interpreter. Allah will question you directly, and the person will look and see nothing ahead of him, and he will look in front of him, and then the hellfire will confront him. And first, when a person will look to his front, nothing. Second time, when he will look, Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever among you can save himself from the fire should do so, even with one half of a date. And you will face Jahannam as a consequence of your own deeds. So do something to put a shield between yourself and Jahannam right now. How do you do that? By giving something. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to give anything that we can, even if it's just half of a date. One half of a date. One half you eat, the other half you give. But give something. The next hadith is about the best time of giving sadaqah. Because sometimes we think that, you know, we can give sadaqah when we are very, very wealthy, when we have, you know, saved a whole lot of money. Well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something different. A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that what kind of charity is the best, and he said to give in charity when you are healthy and greedy, hoping to be wealthy and afraid of becoming poor. You see that? You are healthy. You are physically able. All right. You don't anticipate any difficulty for yourself. Things are good, and at the same time, you are very greedy, and you want more. And you hope that, you know, the kind of money that you're earning, the kind of money that you're saving, you will become wealthier. But at the same time, you have that risk, that fear that, you know, I could also become poor. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is basically telling us to give sadaqah in whatever condition we are in, and not wait for that perfect time when we can give sadaqah. What is that perfect time? That perfect time is now. Every day, every moment, whatever situation that we are in, we can give sadaqah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not delay giving in charity until the time when you are on the deathbed. And you say, give so much to so-and-so and so much to so-and-so. Because at that time, that property is no longer yours. It belongs to your inheritors anyway. So In this hadith, basically, we are being warned against procrastination when it comes to giving sadaqah. Don't delay, because you don't know what might happen tomorrow. And you don't know, death might be closer than you think. So give before death approaches. And when you have the habit of giving, then giving at the time of death is also beneficial. We learn in a hadith that a man told the Prophet ﷺ that his mother died suddenly. And he said that, you know, I know that if my mother was able to speak at that time, she would have told me to give sadaqah because it was her habit. So should I give sadaqah on her behalf? Would she be rewarded? And the Prophet ﷺ said yes. On the other hand, when a person is stingy, doesn't typically give, okay, does not have the habit of giving, then giving sadaqah at the time of death is of no benefit. Yani, at that time, your wealth is going to other people anyway. So when you have the habit of giving, regardless of your circumstances, then the reward is continuous. The next hadith is about giving to relatives. But which relatives? The Prophet ﷺ said that the best sadaqah is that you give to the relative who has hidden enmity towards you. Allahu Akbar. Which relative? Who has that hidden enmity towards you? You know that they have a problem. You know that they don't like you, right? And that dislike for you surfaces in one way or another, right? You know, there are some relatives you feel very comfortable around. Other relatives, you know, you don't feel too comfortable around them. So the Prophet ﷺ said, the best sadaqah is that you give them. This is hard. This, you have to go against your ego. But this is the most beneficial for your ego, all right? And also for theirs. Any giving to relatives is rewardable anyway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to give to the wil qurba. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that there is double reward in giving to relatives. How? Because one is the reward of sadaqah, the other is the reward of charity, of being good to the relatives, right? And when you give to your relatives, then you know, your sustenance is increased, and there is also blessing increase in your life term as well. And those who do not give to their relatives, there's severe warning against them. We learn in a hadith that on the day of judgment, you know, a person who was stingy with his relatives will be brought, and there, you know, he will be punished through a snake that will surround his neck, and it will bite him. So this is for who? The person who was stingy with his relatives. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with wealth, but he did not use to give to his relatives. And remember that even if your relatives are non-Muslim, you should still spend on them. And this is a situation where they might really have enmity towards you, right? They might not even hide it, actually. So you must spend on relatives, whether they are Muslim or not, whether they're nice to you or not, whether they're good people or not, spend on them. They're the best recipients of your charity. Now, again, this does not mean you only spend on them. There needs to be a balance. You spend on relatives who don't like you and also on relatives who like you, right? You spend in the way of Allah. You have to diversify, all right? Then the next hadith is about giving water, okay? We learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he was asked that, O Messenger of Allah, what kind of charity is best? And he said, providing drinking water. All right. We learn in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, which sadaqah do you like most? And he replied, water. So arrange for drinking water, okay, in whatever way that we can. And in, you know, different places of the world, there's different ways. In some places, you know, people need a water filtration plant. In another place, maybe they need a well to be dug. Another place, maybe they need tap water to be arranged. Another place, maybe, you can arrange for water bottles, whatever, you know, the different places require, you can arrange for that. Maybe in your masjid, you can pay for a new water fountain. right? Where people can get drinking water in their bottles easily. This is rewardable. People can afford to buy water themselves. They can bring water from their homes even. But when you give them water, you get reward. We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask people on the Day of Judgment in regard to this. In a hadith, we learn Allah will ask a person on the Day of Judgment, O son of Adam, I asked you for water, but you did not give me. And the person will say, Ya Rab, how could I give you drink? How could I give you water when you are the Lord of the worlds? Why would you need water? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that my servant asked you for water, but you did not give him any. Did you not know that if you had given him something to drink, you would have found me there? You would have found closeness to me? So, you know, sometimes we don't have to go far at home also. We become so lazy. We become, a little selfish where, for example, you bring water for yourself in the room and you say to your husband, this is mine. Go get your own. Well, you can get two cups of water. You can get two bottles of water, one for you, one for him. Or you can let him drink from yours. Because those who withhold water, it's actually a serious sin to withhold water. We learned that on the Day of Judgment, there will be people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even speak to. He will not even look at them. He will not purify them because he will be so angry with them. And of them is a person who had spare water, but he would not give to others. He would withhold it. And in the hadith especially, travelers are mentioned because they are especially in need of water. So remember, when you give water, even to your family or strangers, and even animals, there is reward in this. There is great reward in this. And if you arrange for a continuous source of water, then this is a form of continuous charity. And when someone gives you water to drink or anything to drink, you should also make dua for them. Allahumma at'im man at'amani wasqi man saqani. That, O Allah, feed the one who has fed me and give to drink to the one who has given me to drink. Then another form of charity is to help mend relationships. You see, this is also a very rewardable thing. It's difficult, but it's greatly rewardable. We learn in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best charity is to amend what is between people. You know, sometimes your children are fighting, or you find out that your sister and her husband are not talking to each other. They had a fight. You find out that, some relatives had an argument. Your father is upset with your mother. Your mother is upset with your brother. We find out about these things because we're humans. We don't always get along. And especially those who are closest to us, we end up, disagreeing with them more. So when you find out that two people are not talking to each other, and these two people are close friends or close relatives, then you should do something to help mend that relationship. This is also a form of charity. Why? Because you have to give from your time. You have to go listen to one person, then you go listen to the other person. You have to have a lot of patience, right? You have to have a lot of tolerance. You have to give good advice. You have to encourage them to forgive. You have to encourage them to overlook. You have to encourage them to think about their own failings instead of constantly blaming the other, right? So this is also a form of charity. Charity is not just given, in a tangible form. It's also given in an intangible form. So this is one of the best forms of sadaqah. It is not a waste of time. But if you're just listening to different parties to find out what's going on, just to participate in that gossip, etc., that would be problematic. Then we learned that the best earning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that inna khayr al kasbi, the best income is of the worker who works sincerely. Allahu Akbar. Yani, when you earn an income in the best way and then you spend from that, imagine reward is doubled now. So the best income, the best earning is of who? In the hadith, specifically what is mentioned is the one who earns by hand. An amil, a worker who works by hand. Yani, this is a laborer. This is not necessarily a white collar job. Okay, this is not someone who is, you know, sitting at a desk, doing a desk job. This is someone who is working in the factory. This is someone who is working in construction. This is someone who is working in the kitchen. All right, working with the hand. So, but he works sincerely, honestly. This kind of earning is the best. And because you are literally putting your sweat, right, your hard work into it. And if you do this kind of work with honesty, and from that you give sadaqah, that is excellent. The Prophet ﷺ said, no one has ever eaten better food than what he eats as a result of the labor of his hands. Even the Prophet of Allah, Dawood alayhi salam, used to eat from what he had worked for with his hands. Yani, you know, there's fancy job titles and then there are job titles which are not that fancy. Doesn't matter. That doesn't determine our worth. What determines our worth is with what integrity, with what honesty are we working? What is our work ethic like? And then when we make that money, what do we do with it? Do we just selfishly consume all of it? Do we constantly complain about the nature of the work? Or do we show gratitude that alhamdulillah, I have a source of income, I don't have to beg, and show gratitude to Allah, and then also give in charity from that? The last hadith is about the best sustenance. Okay, the best sustenance. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best sustenance is that which is sufficient. خَيْرُ الرِّزْقِ الْكَفَافِ. And some people are just never satisfied with what they are earning. And because of that, they're not willing to give sadaqah. Or they think sadaqah is not for them because what we have is not enough. Constantly complaining about what is not functional, what is not working anymore, what needs to be updated, what needs to be replaced. You need constantly complaining about the lack of means. And this is really sad, because a person is not able to see the gifts that they have. And when they don't see the gifts that they have, they cannot give from what they have. You can only give when you have a sense of, that sense that I have something. And that is with contentment. So the Prophet ﷺ said that successful is the one who enters the fold of Islam and is provided with sustenance which is sufficient for his needs, for his day's needs, and Allah makes him content with what he has bestowed upon him. So instead of thinking about how we're not that wealthy, let us be grateful for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Let us work honestly. Let us work with sincerity. And whatever we make, let us give from it in the way of Allah. Let us give from it to those who are dependent on us, to our relatives, and especially those relatives who do not like us. And also for the benefit of the creation in general, right? People, even animals. Any, if you plant a tree, for example, you purchase a plant, you plant a tree. Imagine any animal, any creature that benefits from it, that sits on it, that eats from it, even if it does not eat from it, sits under its shade, eats the leaves, you get the reward of sadaqah. So be grateful and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you be a more giving person. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa rizqan tayyiban wa amalan mutaqabbala. O Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge, for pure provision, and for deeds that are accepted by you. Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramika wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. O Allah, suffice me with what you have made lawful against that which you have made unlawful, and enrich me with your favor from all those who are besides you. And he make me dependent only on you. And also, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri, that, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from poverty, wal-qilla, and having little, wa-dhilla, and humiliation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sadaqat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq, that realization that we can give and that we should give. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our charities. Ameen. Inshallah, we will conclude over here for today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.